And as we're going through 1 Corinthians, we are in chapter 14, and what I'm going to do this morning is read through the first 25 verses. Now, we've been studying this book, and he, in chapter 12, began to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we use that term to describe just about everything that the Spirit does with his gifting in our lives, but like we talked about, the actual job description type gifts. A much better list is Romans 12, gifts like teaching, prophecy, ministry, leading, giving, all those things that are more like job descriptions. You know, you meet someone and they're just empowered in a certain way. Every time you talk to them, you get encouraged, no matter what it is. It's that gift of encouragement. But then in 1 Corinthians 12, he started talking about the things that were needing to be talked about in Corinth, which were these spiritual tools, the spiritual things that you would use in your job description. Remember, we talked about it like tools on a tool belt. So the idea of having a word from the Lord, a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom there in chapter 12, verses 8, 9, 10. A gift of healings. A discernment of spirits, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those would be like tools on a tool belt. They're not really a job description. And I don't want to repeat myself too much, but you know, you wouldn't show up on a job site with a pipe wrench and say, I'm the pipe wrench guy. You got any work? No. What would it be? It'd be, I'm a plumber. Oh, well, you're a plumber. Do you have your own tools? Yeah, I got my own tools. And that's quite different. If you're not a plumber, you shouldn't be using a pipe wrench, as I've told you. I've got myself in trouble using a big 24-inch pipe wrench. I got a text from the Hernandezes, the missionaries that are in the West Bank portion of the year, and she sent me a picture, and they have a 60-inch pipe wrench that their son was using on a job site. I thought, ooh, I could break a lot of pipes with a 60-inch pipe wrench. That's great. Anyway, but when you know how to use the tools and the tools make sense, and he talked about those, but what he did is he began to talk about the body of Christ working together, and we talked about this last week. It's so important that we understand that everyone is integral in the body of Christ. You can't tell someone that you don't need them in the body of Christ because God has fit us all together as a body. The hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you, or the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. But then also that other side of, if you're not an eye and you're not a mouth and you're not an ear, you can't say, well, I'm not worth much because I'm not an eye and a mouth and all that. That doesn't change anything either. You're just as necessary. And so he talked about that, the body fitting together. If you weren't here last week, I highly recommend listen to that message because I think there's a lot of things that we believe and we direct our lives under certain opinions that we have that really aren't from the Lord. We're to recognize that we're part of the body of Christ and God uses us together. We're to encourage one another, lift up each other in humility before the Lord. So he ends that whole section by saying, where am I? I am now in the wrong. Okay, there we go. In chapter 12, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Actually, that was the study from 2 weeks ago, because last week we talked about chapter 13, which was the love chapter, and we talked about how love is the foundation of all these things that we do. But then after talking about love as the foundational principle, he comes back to the gifts. So he sandwiches the idea of love being the foundation in the middle of this discussion. And chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So I want to read through now the first 25 verses in this context, and then we'll go back and I have a few things I want to talk about. So chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. In verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, by a teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me, even so you. Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak in with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. As it is written in the law, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Father, I pray you'd speak to us this morning, that you'd bring clarity to these things. Lord, that we would find just that place that you have for us as we pursue love and as we desire you to empower our lives and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. One of the things I mentioned last week is that idea of pursuing love was to hunt the love of God in everything and in every relationship that we have. Hunt for agape in every way. But concerning the gifts, he now focuses here and says that, yes, pursue love, absolutely, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Why the emphasis on prophecy? What makes it a greater gift to pursue? Well, we have to define prophecy. What is it? It's when what you share gives God's perspective and shows his heart on an issue. It's the foretelling of what God has spoken to us and the foretelling of what's to come. So sometimes someone shares a word of prophecy, and it's about future events, right? All the prophets in the Old Testament did this. They'd be talking about something that was coming, and the nation of Israel would either believe or not believe. As a matter of fact, some of the prophets were told, look, I'm going to speak to you, but it's not what they want to hear. So when you speak for me, it'll be the evidence that I'm seeking my people, but also the evidence that they don't believe. So whether they believe you or not, just say what I say. And the prophets were in a tough place because the words of God were harsh upon the nation of Israel much of the time through the prophets because they were walking in unbelief. So that's prophecy foretelling of an event, but also foretelling. Just reading these verses right now from the Word of God together is prophecy, speaking the Word of God. And so foretelling, you know, when you quote a verse to someone, you're prophesying. But what he's talking about specifically is that empowering when you know you have a word from the Lord and it's his perspective, it's something from him for us. It's not just about future events, but the whole counsel of God. Sometimes it's direct, sometimes it's indirect, sometimes it's personal for someone, sometimes it's impersonal. It gives a sense of the knowledge of God. So it's a greater gift to pursue because of what it is and what it does. You know, to hear from the Lord. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever personally heard from the Lord. You know, where you're just in a time of worship and all of a sudden the Lord communicates something to your heart. And I heard it a great way at the recovery meeting Saturdays. I missed yesterday, but I was there a few weeks ago, and someone shared about how the Lord spoke to them, and the way they described it was perfect. It was, I didn't hear anything in my ears, but in my heart, I knew it was God's word speaking to me. And I thought, that's a good way to say it. I've never heard something audible, but I've heard the Lord speak to me at times where I knew it's like, Lord, that's a word from you. Sometimes during a Bible study, during a teaching, I'll just realize, oh Lord, that was for me. That was for me. And you know what it is when that happens? It's life changing. It's life changing. I was driving down the freeway once and the Lord spoke to me. I was upset. I was kind of yelling at God, telling him, this isn't fair. And all of a sudden, I sensed him touch my life, and I had this sense of knowing from God, and it changed my life forever. There was a time when that happened to me in my living room, praying and thanking the Lord for that season of my life at that time. And all of a sudden, he showed up, and he says, Chris, you don't believe that I love you. You just think I tolerate you. And I thought, what? It changed my life forever. Hearing from God is what we long for. And many of you have come and told me those stories where you just know, well, the Lord spoke to me on something. It doesn't need to be a real dramatic word either. It just solves an issue. So the idea of prophesying is a great gift. And in this chapter, he says, look at verse 3, but I want you to know that, whoops, my pages keep flipping, and I'm going to start teaching the wrong Bible study. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. I like these three words to describe why prophesying, hearing from God, is so important. First word is edification. It means to build up or to lift up. The Greek word is oikodome, and it's like putting the roof on a house concerning the architecture. And abstractly, it means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the reason that leadership is given to the church, pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles and all of that, is for the edification of the church, the building up of the church, the equipping of the saints, the edification of the body of Christ. So to build up, to finish the work, when we finally get a permanent shade structure here, it's going to be edifying, right? That's the idea. To build and finish the work. Edification. Secondly, he says, when you prophesy, it brings exhortation. which means to come alongside and to help to get moving. The word for exhortation in the Greek is paraklesis. And I don't want to just quote Greek words to you, but that's the same word for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says, I'm going to send the comforter to you, the helper, he uses the word paraklesis. It's the word for the Holy Spirit. So edification, to come alongside like an attorney, an advocate, to carry you through the process of something that's difficult. Jesus calls him the helper, John 14, John 15, John 16. He abides with us forever, Jesus says, and teaches us all things, reminding us of all of Jesus' words, testifying of him, and leading us into all truth. So to build us up, edification, to exhort us, to get us moving, comforting us is the third word. It means to console, to encourage, to lift the head. Like when the scriptures say to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those that rejoice, the idea is to come alongside and comfort. The word is paramuthion. I have no idea if I'm saying that right, paramuthion. But it means this, para, to come alongside, and then muthos means the story. Now listen, to comfort is to come alongside someone's story, to comfort them with words. It's not the correction. It's not the information, but it's relational. Listening is a huge part of comfort. When someone's going through something and they come to you, if you just start filling the air with words, you're missing it. This is about sharing comforting words, but sometimes the comforting words are simply, this sounds very difficult. How are you doing with this? Comfort. To come alongside someone's story, to listen and to encourage with what is from the Lord. Remember, we're talking about prophecy. So this is giving a word from the Lord to someone who's hurting, to comfort them. Anybody watching The Chosen? I look forward every time they come out with a new episode. They're in season 3. Episode 6 came out, and I think this Wednesday, episode 7. Every one of them, I've loved the whole series, the first season. If you're new to that and you don't know what it is, The Chosen is a story of Jesus written like a TV show. And so each week they come out with every so often they come out with new episodes, and they've done one season and now the second season. But you can just download The Chosen as an app and watch them on the app or cast them to your TV or anyway. This last one, Mary Magdalene, and a lot of times they fill in the blanks in Scripture. So if you don't want to see them fill in the blanks, if you don't think that's right, don't watch The Chosen. But they fill in the blanks a lot to fill in the story. And in this one, Mary has fallen away, Mary Magdalene, and she's come back to the Lord, and she's before the Lord Jesus, and she's saying, Jesus, I'm so sorry, I betrayed you, I don't know why I did this, it's terrible what I did, you know, can you forgive me? And he's like, I've forgiven you, it's over, you're back. And just that scene brought tears to my eyes, because there was no condemnation. There was no, well, we're going to have to talk about what happened. It was just simply, you know that was destructive in your life. You're back. It's over. And as that was said to her, I just heard from the Lord that, Chris, once again, you need to remember that you are forgiven, and the things that you've done in the past, it's over. Just walk with me. It was beautiful. So I guess that could be a word of prophecy given to me while I was watching a TV show. That was pretty awesome. But the idea is to build you up, to get you moving, and to comfort you. That's why prophecy is so important. So all three of those issues, to build up, to get someone moving, and to comfort them, is from the same Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Words from the Lord. The tongue is powerful. Life and death are in the tongue, Proverbs 18 tells us. 1 Peter tells us, if anybody speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, the words of God, so that Jesus will be glorified. with the things that we speak. And all three of these ideas to build up and to exhort and to comfort are all on the foundation of love. Remember the Good Samaritan story. The religious guys would pass on the other side of the street so that they wouldn't have to get near that sinner. But he was left for dead by the thieves. And so the Samaritan, the quote-unquote hated Samaritan, comes over and helps him. And what he does is he bandages his wounds. And he brought him to the inn, and took care of him, the scriptures say. That idea of building him up, getting him where he needed to be, and then taking care of him. All of that on the foundation of love. How do I love my brother? Well, that's how you do it. Prophecy is huge, church. Listen, it's amazing when we hear from the Lord. We want to be open to what God speaks to us. The danger of hearing from the Lord is when we say, I don't think I want to do what God is saying to me. That becomes a very painful season in our lives when we say we want to hear from the Lord, but then when we hear from him, we don't want to do what he says. Make a decision this morning today, I'll do whatever you say, Lord. And then the struggle is, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And that can be quite a journey, right? Amen. But a little caution here, because sometimes when we do this and we get into Greek words and kind of tear something apart like this, we want to remember that the things of the Lord are not only for studying. We're to live these things and bring them all together in what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. You know, I've taken a flower off of a bush or a tree or something and torn it apart to see all the little intricate parts. You know, you got the petals and you've got the pistil, I think it's called, and the stamen and the sepal, right, where it starts to come out, and you can kind of pull it apart and see how it all works and you see it all form. It's a great little study if you ever want to just destroy a flower, you know. But the problem with taking it apart is you kill the flower, right? And we want to be very careful concerning the things of the Lord, that we don't just pull apart something like that and then forget that, no, it's not just for studying. We're to be experiencing the wholeness of the work of God in our lives in the beauty of his purposes. And coming together as a church is not only for Bible study, right? We're not saved because we study the Bible. We're not saved only so that we can study the Bible. We study the Bible because God has saved us and we want to learn how to walk in his ways as his body together. I might do something that drives you crazy. There might be a part of my personality that you think, no thanks. It's good. God can use that in your life because we have to die to ourselves to be a part of the body of Christ. And so he has an area here that he wants to spend more time focusing on and teaching about. That's why we read the first 25 verses. And it's this idea of prophecy being very important for the body and the overemphasis in the Corinthian church with the gift of tongues. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the gift of tongues. Maybe you have that gift from the Lord, or maybe you've seen it used properly. More than anyone else in the body of Christ, the people that I meet are those that have seen the gift of tongues used improperly and don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, maybe it's not always that way, but that seems to be most of the people that I meet. They don't understand the gift. It's kind of weird, and they don't want it. And they don't want it with anyone that they associate with because it's weird to them. Now, I'm here to say it is weird. And Paul just told us it was. He just told us, if you speak in tongues, you'll be offending your own intellect. Now, I don't know of anything else in my life that's like that. And all the gifts of the Spirit that he talks about here have a specific direction and purpose, but hello. But the gift of tongues is uniquely different. because there's two distinct uses for the gift of tongues, like none of the other gifts. And so tongues in this chapter, verse 2, verse 28, speaking not to men but to God, so using the gift, it's a prayer, it's a worship, it's a thanksgiving to the Lord. And no one understands what you're saying on a natural level. You speak mysteries in the Spirit, he says. Verse 4, the one that speaks in tongues edifies himself when he's using that gift personally. And Paul would have us all use it there in verse 5, verses 5, 13, 27, 28. Whenever it's used publicly, it's to be coupled with interpretation. Verse 14, when a person's spirit prays a prayer to God, the understanding is unfruitful with the gift of tongues. Verse 15, Paul prays and sings in tongues. Verse 17, it's a giving of thanks. Verse 18, Paul speaks in tongues a lot, more than you all, he says, but he would only do that privately. Interesting. Paul would choose not to speak in tongues publicly there in verse 19. In verse 22 and 23, tongues is a sign to unbelievers of their unbelief when the gift is just used by itself. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And at the end of the chapter, he's going to say, don't forbid people to speak in tongues privately. He says, but encourage them more so to prophesy. So this tongues versus prophesying, the context is a public gathering. In the church, in gathering as a church, the gift of tongues without the gift of interpretation wouldn't make any sense. I remember the church that I gave my life to Christ and I kept going. It was down in Southern California. And I would visit the church for a while before I got involved with Calvary Chapel. But I would go to this church. And I remember one time the pastor was teaching in a big church. I don't know. All the churches down there are huge. But it was a big church. I don't know how many people, let's say 1,000 or something. And as the pastor's teaching, this woman stands up and starts shouting out in tongues. And it sounded sort of like that siren in the background. It just seemed to interrupt everything. And the pastor stopped teaching until she finished speaking in tongues. And the pastor went, well, I don't know who that was for, but anyway, and kept going. And I was a brand new Christian, like saved 3 weeks. And I went, something's wrong there. That's not the way that's supposed to go. I just knew it in my heart. And then later when I read Corinthians and I realized, yeah, Paul is telling us that's not the way that we're supposed to use that gift. So it bothers people when it's used incorrectly. Absolutely. And so he's talking about the use of the gift of tongues in the church as he's describing this. And the reason he's digging more deeply into this is because it's not being used properly in the church. So tongues is what? Being empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in a language that you do not understand. Chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. The idea is it's an angelic tongue. It's a heavenly language. No one would understand it on a natural level. So what you're saying doesn't make sense to you or anyone else on a natural level. It's a spiritual gifting. Now, Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues in verse 5. And that word is a thelo, which means permission or command or determine, more than a wishful desire. He's wanting to see people use this gift in their private lives and personally in their prayer time. But we know that not everybody has the gift of tongues, so we wouldn't want to try to push some kind of weirdness. A lot of the churches have gotten off in this area, making it mandatory that you speak in tongues and all the crazy doctrine that comes with that. But it's a gift that would be offensive to our intellect, yet used by the Lord in our lives. Now, the reason there's some confusion is because there's a private use of the gift of tongues and there's a public use of the gift of tongues. The private use or personal use is the only gift that is not for the edification of others. So if the Lord gave me a word of prophecy, but I decided not to share it. That would not be the intention of the gift. Right? God gives me a word for the church or for you, then it comes from God, if you can catch this, to me as a gift that I give to the church, that I give to you. That's the way it goes. If the Lord were to give you a gift of healing for someone, and you just have the faith to, you know what, I'm going to go and pray for that person, and God's going to heal them. If you decided, no, I'm not going to go pray for them. Well, that wouldn't be the purpose of the gift. The gift was for another person, given to you to give to someone else. A word of knowledge, same thing. Something given from God to me to give to you. A word of wisdom. A discerning of spirits. That's the gift where, you know what? It would normally seem like the right thing to do, but this is not the Spirit of God leading us. That would be a gift given to a person to give to the church, to give to another individual. But this gift, the gift of tongues, he separates it out and he says there's this private use and this public use. If I use the gift personally, listen, it comes from God to me and back to God as prayer and thanksgiving and worship. It's always from me to God, but it's a gift that God gives me to pray back to him. Like that verse that says, the Spirit intercedes with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, when I don't know how to pray, and I just say, oh, Jesus, I need you. Guess what? God knows what the oh means. Sometimes I don't. You know, when you're just, oh, goodness. Okay, Lord, here's what's going on. He understands all the emotion, all the emphasis perfectly. God doesn't need an interpreter ever for your heart, ever. So this idea of God giving me this ability to speak in a language that I don't understand, and I'm speaking it back to him, it's about edifying me like none of the other gifts. But if God were to lay it on my heart to speak in tongues publicly, then that's just like the other gifts. Comes from God as a gift upon me. He prompts my heart to share it with you. And it would only make sense to do if there's an interpretation of that gift. Now, doesn't that just make sense? But what we see and why it gets so confusing for people, we see someone say, you know what, I'm going to use that gift of tongues that God's given me, that private use that I have, I'm going to use it publicly. I'm just going to share my gift with everyone. But God didn't prompt them to do that. Imagine if I just said, you know what, Tony, I'm going to give you a word from God. I've just decided, you know, I'm going to go do this. I know what I'm doing, you know. Unless I received from the Lord, I'd have nothing to say. I could even damage someone by making them think I've heard from the Lord when I haven't. Could you imagine going up to someone who was ill and saying, I'm just going to give you a healing? Well, what? How arrogant. How arrogant for people to think that they just control that gift, you know. But we don't. We have to wait on the Lord and receive it. So with the gift of tongues, people say, so Chris, you speak in tongues? I do speak in tongues. God's given me that gift. So do it now. Oh, no, you don't understand. Could you do it now? Yes. In that private use of praying back to God, I have the right to just use that gift in prayer. But if I used it publicly and God was not telling me to use it publicly, guess what? It's weird. And there are gatherings of Christians that think, let's just get weird. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Especially when you come back to chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians and realize this is what Paul is saying is, if you didn't do it right, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to use that. And so because of the misuse of that gift, I don't think we see the Spirit prompting it as much as it's being used. It's misused a lot. And I think because of that, a lot of people who might have the gift privately don't use it privately. Well, I'm veering from my notes. So let me try to get back to them here. So the public use would need to be mixed with interpretation, because then the church would be edified by the use of that gift. Without the interpretation, there'd be no reason to use it publicly. So Paul says, if there's not an interpreter, then stay silent in the church, because it won't be edifying. What is the interpretation of tongues? That's a gift listed in chapter 12. In other words, it's not that all of a sudden I can translate what you're saying. If someone's speaking in the gift of tongues and I've got the translation, it's not about translation, it's about interpretation. And a great example of that is in the prophet Daniel, when they call him in because there's a hand that has appeared before Belshazzar, the king. They've taken out the gold utensils from what they took from Israel there in Babylon, and they start getting drunk with all of the tool, the cups and things, the golden cups from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And this hand appears and writes on the wall, "Tekel, tekel, meni, uparsin." And they had no idea what it meant. Now, they knew Aramaic, which is what that is, and they would have known immediately what it said, which is numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. But they had no idea what it meant. So Daniel came in and interpreted it for them. And the interpretation, not the translation, they already had that, but they didn't know what it meant. They didn't know what God was speaking to them. And what God said was this: your days are numbered, numbered, numbered. You've been found wanting. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom is going to be divided. Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. It was a word of judgment from God upon them. And so the idea of God giving someone an interpretation of the use of tongues would be, once again, here's the sense of what God is speaking today. So, if someone were to publicly share the gift of tongues, and you heard an interpretation, and the interpretation was this: oh, my people, seek my face, and I will let myself be found by you. You'd say, wait, no, that's prophecy. That's a word from the Lord. The gift of tongues is actually a prayer back to God. And I remember Chuck Smith used to tell us this down at Costa Mesa, that he was visiting a highly charismatic church. His friend wanted him to go, and somebody stood up and spoke in tongues. And right after that, someone stood up and prophesied, and everyone just assumed it was the interpretation of the tongue. And Chuck said, actually, that gift of tongues was not that interpretation. That was a prophecy for the church. And God had given him the interpretation. He said what that person was saying in tongues, and then he shared it with his friend. And right after he shared that, someone else in the church prayed that word for word as just a prayer to God. See, God's working in the church. And sometimes we don't even understand what's going on because we haven't come to God and said, God, what are we doing here? We want to always be careful with that. So, by the way, in case you're wondering, although we do believe the gifts are for today, gifts like that, the gift of tongues, would be very confusing on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night during our teaching and worship times. The doors are open to the public, and so many people have seen that gift misused that we've asked people not to speak, if they have the gift of tongues, not to speak out loud in church on Sundays and Wednesdays so that it wouldn't bring confusion. And I'll just say this, I've only seen that gift used once in the 20 years that we've been doing ministry here. Once I saw it used properly, and it was in one of our small afterglow groups. Someone asked if they could share a tongue, and they did, and there was an interpretation, and it was great. One time in 20 years. But so many times it's misused. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much more time on that. So, tongues are spoken towards God. The public use would be God giving interpretation for us. And so, words of interpretation is still towards the Lord, but for us, just like the other gifts. And it's for us to hear these things and to be edified, the edification of the body. So we've pulled apart our flower this morning, and I would just encourage you to put all that back together and realize that God has a living work that he wants to do in our midst. Church, listen, you need to be seeking God about what your gifts are in the body of Christ. Are you one of those people that just for whatever reason God uses you as an encourager? That when you meet with people and they're going through something, God just brings them to you and you're able to lift them up and get them focused on the Lord again and serving Him? Are you one of those people that when someone has a problem, God just gives you an ability to share His word with them and to teach? Then teach. If you're an encourager, encourager. Are you one of those comforters that just can sit and listen and just say, God loves you. I'm so sorry you're going through this. Weep with those that weep. Then do it. Are you someone that just has that discernment from the Lord where it's like, you know, I just don't feel like this is what God has for us. I think we're supposed to be doing this. Then share it. We need to learn how to work together as a body. That living work that God's doing amongst us so that we can be building each other up, encouraging each other to walk, and to be comforting each other by Him in the body. So pursue love, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that we'll have words from the Lord and His heart on what's going on. We want to be a part of the body together. Amen? Well, Father, we come before You and we thank You, Lord, for the way that You speak to us. Lord, You know me better than I know myself, and You know the things I need to hear from You and have confirmed from You. Lord, for each of us, what we want is to be right in the middle of Your will, right under the spout where the blessings come out. And so, Lord, we want to see You, we want to hear from You, we want to be used by You in Your glory. So, Lord, search us, know us, see our thoughts and our anxieties. And, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that's not from You, take it from us, that we can be led by Your Spirit into everlasting life. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name.